Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so excited to welcome Stephanie Hino as my special guest. Stephanie is in charge of the children's ministry here at Catalyst. She's married to Tim, and together they have three children, sons Mason and Nolan, and daughter Brinley. And with that, Stephanie, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I mentioned this to you before. Your father-in-law, Pastor David, along with your husband, Tim, and your family. Well, actually, I didn't mention this part before, but you're the very first Hinos that I've met outside of the city of Gardena, if you can believe that. I guess it's not a very common Japanese-American surname,
I don't know many Hinos. I don't come across many others that aren't related.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, so aside from us, have you met any other Hinos in your lifetime?
No, not that aren't directly related, because as far as I know, we're not related, right?
Right. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So I have to share something with you that I haven't even shared this with Yenny, but as I was thinking about our time together, it just popped in my head. So my mom has told me several times that if she didn't name me Jonathan, she would have named me Timothy. Can you believe that? So, I mean, if that were the case, our Catalyst would have had two Tim Hinos. I just thought that was hilarious in a way. So this would be a good segue. I want to jump into your testimonies. And so back in 2006, you visited your now father-in-law's church. And so I wondered if you can talk about that experience and what that kind of how that started your journey in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so back in 2006, I think I was still in high school. I was friends with Tim and another whole group from Anaheim Free Methodist. And I knew his dad had started a church, and they met on Saturday nights. So we decided just to go check it out. And it was very different, unlike anything I, you know, had experienced before. And they had a small team just in the front of the, you know, they met also in a school. So they had them in the front of the auditorium, and they were asking God, like, you know, who was highlighted to them in the congregation.
Yeah.
And one lady, she called me out, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like what? Like it was, I was kind of like nervous, right? And then she proceeded to give me this, just this encouraging word. It wasn't even necessarily prophetic. Mm-hmm, it was just that like God saw me, and he saw me as beautiful and special, and just, it was all about identity.
Yeah, I think you said that she told you that you're a gem.
Yes. And I was just like blown away by that. I felt seen in a way by God that I had never felt in my life. And that really like marked me, I think. And I was just like, what? Just so in awe. And that just really touched me.
Yeah. So you received this word, and it seemed like that drew you in, and you felt seen. And so is that when you started attending the
So then I church? Started kind of, I started going to the Light Christian Fellowship. I started attending there before Tim did. I mean, at that point we weren't dating, but I started attending that church because I was just hungry. Mm-hmm. I was hungry for more of just the Holy Spirit, which I think that's what, or a piece that I just didn't grow up knowing. So that kind of started my journey.
So I'm hearing that this created kind of a hunger for almost a hunger for more of what you were seeing happening. And so that kind of led to your introduction to Bethel, right? In some ways, or
So one of the one of the ladies at his at that church, she gave me a book, and it was all about treasure hunting or the prophetic evangelism, mm-hmm. where you ask the Lord for clues about people you're going to meet when you go out. Ask God for a location.
Yeah.
You ask God for, like, an appearance of someone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dark hair, blue eyes, or whatever.
Yeah.
What they're wearing, maybe an ailment they have, and you write it all down. And then you go out to those places.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, you find them. Mm-hmm, and it's just so crazy because it's like, well, no, like, they're God's treasure. And, like, we're seeking them out. And we want to just go encourage them and love on them.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you that is if these people that you're looking for, if they're people that you want to evangelize to mm-hmm. or just encourage or speak a word to or was
yeah, it, yeah, yeah. Both.
Is it different every time?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kind of okay. Just whatever they're open to. But So she gave me this book all of it. And it just like blew my mind. Like I was just like, why have I never heard of this or uh-huh, knew uh-huh. that was even possible. Like, and that kind of got me on this rabbit trail to where I found out about Bethel, and then I kind of found Jesus culture too that mix. And so that kind of started the mm-hmm. kind of lit the spark for me.
And for those that maybe don't know about Jesus culture, that's that's worship or for the young people.
At that point in time, it was more of like a youth movement. Worship.
Yeah.
And they would have conferences. Now I think they're actually a church uh-huh. plant, but back then they would just, they had worship albums and catered and more towards the youth.
Right. And speaking of conferences, you ended up going to a conference, and I think you said you went on your own, and mm-hmm. I wonder if you can talk about that.
Yeah, so I was, I was just, like, so hungry for more, I just was like, I need to learn, I want to know how to do this, I want to hear God like that, I want to experience God like that, and I found, through digging, like, online, that Jesus culture they were going to be in Southern California. And back then, they just met in, like, churches, or they just held these conferences in churches. Now they're in, like, stadiums and stuff. But uh-huh. back then, it was just local churches. And so I don't think many of my close friends were tracking with me in this journey. Mm-hmm. And I think... Yeah, no one could go or no one wanted to go. And it was mm-hmm. it was far down, like Laguna Niguel, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whatever, I don't care. I'm just going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to mm-hmm. go by myself and, standing in line, trying to register by myself and just, I didn't care. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. right. I just wanted to experience and I wanted more.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting when you talk about the treasure hunts, and it's almost like this adventure with God. Growing up, we'd go to church on Sunday, and then, you maybe hear the word, and then you go home. But this idea of, the treasure hunts and hearing from God, it's, would you say it's almost like a lifestyle and a way of interacting with God, and it just doesn't have to be, on a treasure hunt, but it can be in other areas too. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's for sure the goal.
Yeah. So, you have this interest in more of the things of the supernatural, which led to, I think, a dream that you had. And so mm-hmm. I wondered if you can share about that.
Yeah. So I, this led to, me finding out about Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And, I was finishing up college and I was just like, I need to go here. Like that it would be a dream. Like, it would be so awesome.
Yeah.
To just be a student there and just to learn and grow in that environment, in that culture that they've created. But then, you know, fast forward a little bit, you know, Tim and I got engaged, and then we're trying to decide, right, next steps, where do we live and all these kinds of things. And Tim's like, well, didn't you want to go to BSSM? And I'm like, yeah, but I kind of like felt okay laying down that dream because I felt bad. I was like, I don't want to ask him to quit his job. Like, he had a nice, secure government job. And I was like, I can't ask him to, because he would have to quit. Like, there's no way he could be remote. Like, so I was like, that's, I can't ask him to do that. But then he's like, well, like, why don't we just pray about it? And if God wants us to go, then we'll go. Mm-hmm. Wow. And yeah, which is huge. And I was just like, okay, like, are you sure? And
did that surprise you? I mean, he seems so open to just what God wants versus what he feels.
Yeah,
is
I
right.
mean, it did, but also it kind of didn't also.
Yeah.
So yeah, we started to pray about it, but then I was like, well, wait, you have to apply to this school. You have to interview. Mm-hmm. And to get in, you have to be accepted. You can't just register and sign up and show up.
Yeah.
So I said, well, we can't really pray about it if we don't even know if we're in. And so he's like, okay. So we submitted our interview or, you know, our applications.
Yeah.
We did a phone interview, and then I think it was like the next day we found out we were accepted. Like, wow. So it was really quick. So I was like, okay, wow. Like, that became real, real quick.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, now we can seek the Lord and, just see if it's, you know, something he wants us to do or not. And,
And I think for you, you said you decided almost right away that, okay, that's what I want to do. But then you said with Tim, it maybe he needed a little extra time to make sure everything kind of lined up.
Right. Yeah. And so we were praying. And at that time, too, his parents ran like a Bible study on Thursday nights, which was more like training, like prophetic training. And just it was a place to just practice. And yeah. A lot of lab time very experiential, and experimental. But so he had this one lady who was there. He was just kind of like challenging her, pushing her in the prophetic. And so he said, okay, like, let's pray for Steph and Tim because they're getting married soon. And nobody knew we were thinking about going to Bethel or whatever. Like, they just knew, like, oh, we're about to get married. And then only Tim's dad was the only one in the room who knew about our decision that we were trying to make. And he said, okay, where do you see Tim and Steph in 3 months? And she's like, I see them being full of peace, even though, like, they're in what they're doing, like, looks different to other people. Like, they're full of peace. And I was like, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, like, let's push it farther. Where do you see them in 6 months? And that would have been 6 months from at that point would have been, we would have been started the school and everything. We would have been in it.
Yeah.
And she said, I see them training and learning, but not in a school or not in a work setting, not for jobs, but in like a school. And so, I mean, that was enough for me. I was just like, I elbowed him in the side and I'm like, okay, let's go. And he was just like, okay, well, wait a minute. Give me a second to kind of process and wrap my mind around it. And that was our major confirmation. And then a bunch of other things fell into place as we were trying to figure out the details. But that was kind of our green light.
Wow. Yeah, because that lady had no idea that you were thinking about this move to the school. Wow, that's incredible. I think you said Tim decided a week later. I just couldn't help but wonder for those that are listening. I mean, maybe they're looking for direction from God in their lives, and I'm just wondering what word of encouragement you can give to them as far as, you know, what they should do, where they should go. You know, you and Tim have kind of made this a lifestyle of just hearing from God and getting confirmation this way, and I just wondered if I can ask you that.
Yeah, well, I feel like, yeah, God is just so kind in that way, that whenever we are at this kind of crossroad, it's like, do we stay? Do we go? Do we, you know, right, left or right? And I feel like he's always just been so kind in that way to give us these really clear confirmations, whether it's yes or no. And it always looks different too.
Yeah.
It could come, through someone else. He could speak directly to us.
Yeah.
Or, you know, through our kids or through, like, I feel like, he will give you that that confirmation or, you know, that answer that you're searching for if you just wait.
Yeah. And I really feel, Stephanie, that what you just said about, you know, you and Tim seeking God, and not only seeking God, but putting your trust in him as well. I just so inspired by that. And I thought of the second part of Psalm 143:8 in the NIV. It says, "Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." And I just think that was so appropriate to what you and Tim did, is seeking the Lord. And the other thing too is you had to go. I mean, you know, God gave you that confirmation, but you still had to go and trust in him. So I just inspired by that.
Yeah, there's another verse in, oh gosh, I believe it's Isaiah. I need to look it up, but it's the one where it says, like, you know, whether you turn to the right or to the left, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it."
Oh, wow.
And I always thought that was so interesting because he's behind you.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and it's like he's whispering in your ear.
Wow.
But he's not in front.
Wow.
Right. And so you could just like look at him and follow, but you have to listen.
Right, right.
And also he's trusting us which way to turn.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Wow. I love that verse.
To find that. I'm so sorry. I don't know the reference.
Well, we'll just have to invite you back again. Then you can share the verse and you can share some more of your amazing testimonies. So you started as students at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and I think you said it was a two-year program. And so I wondered if you can talk about that experience for you. You know, what was that experience like?
Oh, it was unlike anything I've ever been a part of ever. First year is like 1,200 students, and I'd say a good 75-80% of those students are international, like from all countries, all around the world. Some countries I had never even heard of, if you could believe that. Like, I'm like, "You're from where?"
Where is that?
I was like, I mean, I have terrible geography, but... Yeah, I was like, at least I know of some of these countries. But just to be in a, you know, we're in a civic center, just to be like every day being in a room with 1,200 people from around the world who are just so hungry for the presence of God, like that alone.
Yeah. I mean, I got to believe the energy and the spirit there must have been like, probably nothing you've experienced before,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. It was just unreal.
Oh,
So that in itself is just life-changing, just to be in that place where everyone's pulling on heaven, right?
Yeah,
and, like, waiting for the miraculous, like just the expectancy.
Expectation, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I wondered if you can talk about maybe one experience in the program that maybe had a profound effect on you. Is there anything come to mind? Or
oh, gosh. Man.
So many of them, huh?
Well, there was one that, oh, my gosh, like I will never forget. So we, because, right, the school is so big, yeah. They, in order to, like, pastor everyone, they split everyone into groups of, like, 60 to 70. So these are your revival groups, they call them. And then there's a pastor and then some interns who kind of pastor that group. So it's kind of like these mini churches, essentially, is what you, and you meet with them every week. And then you, they split you into small groups. For out of that group of 60, guy, girl, small groups. And so it was during one of our revival group times. And right, like Bethel, their culture is just very like risk. Faith is spelled R-A-S-K. You know, they will kind of just push you off the ledge and you gotta, you know, just rely on the Lord. And so.
And is it also in the spirit of grace where I'm sure like maybe it won't be accurate 100% of the time, but you're kind of allowed to just go ahead and take the risk. And if it doesn't work, then you get on your feet and you do it again, that type of environment.
Right. They tell us you have to fail 3 times.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
They said not morally, moral failures, but like you got to take a risk and get it wrong.
Yeah.
At least 3 times. Yeah. That's it. That's what they say. So there's lots of opportunity. They put you in for that. And so they were randomly calling up people in our revival group time. And the first person had to, you know, they said, okay, you have a minute to prep to give a sermon, like a 3-minute sermon, like go.
Wow.
In front of 60 people, right? You know, like, or was it someone had to do a prophetic dance over someone else?
Wow.
And then I'm just sitting there, right? I'm like, so like slouching, like don't make eye contact. Like don't pick me.
Okay. So the leader's going to call someone to do these things.
Calling out people. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and I knew it. I think I knew it the day before. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to sing in front of someone or something. And sure enough, they're like, okay, sing a prophetic song over this girl in our group. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I am not a singer. Like I don't have a good voice. Like, and yeah, it was just, and I did it.
All right.
But oh my gosh. And you know, after everyone's just like, you know, giving me standing ovation, you know, they're just cheering for me. But it was just like, oh, that was the most like, that was the most challenging thing, I think, just to like push through the fear of man and just like, you know, the whole performance-y thing, like, and, yeah. And then even after, like, it's so interesting, the enemy, right? He's just like, tries to get in my head. It's just like, like you didn't do a good job, or like she, like that didn't mean anything to her, or like, you know, all these just like, oh my gosh, like you look so dumb. And, but then like after like that evening, like my phone was just like flooded with messages like, oh my gosh, like that was so powerful.
Wow.
Or that was like the Holy Spirit was in the room, or, you know, like I felt his presence when you were releasing that song. And so, it was, I mean, one of those things that's borderline traumatic, but in a good way, right? Yeah. It was really me being just pushed out of the nest, like, okay, go fly.
Yeah.
Like,
and no kidding.
You know, really relying on the Lord for words and for a song that,
as you, crazy. As you reflect back on that experience, Stephanie, what effect did that experience have on you to this day?
I think, yeah, that it again, that it's like, God is so kind, and he comes through. He gives you the words, or he'll give you a song when you don't have one, or he will, like, where you feel you're not enough, or, like, you know, where you, like, if you feel like you're at your limit or you're stretched, like, he'll fill those places. He'll fill those gaps where you don't feel like you can do it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was a testimony of his grace, really.
Yeah.
And just receiving that, mm-hmm. and stepping into it, even though, yeah. like, you know, in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I never want to do that again. Or, like, that was so, like,
yeah,
horrible, but.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking, gosh, if you can do something like that, sing a prophetic song in front of that many people, I'm thinking everything else seems like, I don't want to say like a cakewalk, but it seems like, man, if you can do that, you can do anything, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm also hearing that, I don't know, I'm just hearing this idea of these, you know, you said that you would hear these noises from the enemy that would try and downplay the, just the power of this event in your life and this experience. But I'm almost hearing, like, now are you feel like you're able to even drown out those voices that, because of this experience, that kind of maybe solidified how God sees you versus maybe how the enemy saw you?
I mean, I think we'll always hear those voices. It's yeah. just if you decide to receive it or not, or just to dismiss.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like I'm always aware more of, like, the timing. Like, it's kind of like when I hear those lies or all the noise that he makes, and it's. Yeah. I look at, like, okay, like, what just happened, or, like, what's about to happen. Usually, right, like, it's like, oh, like, it's just trying to discourage me, or, like, like you said, like, downplay something powerful God did, or so I think I'm more aware of, like, his tactics in that way, and, you know, I don't like giving the enemy more credit than or any credit, right? So I'm not always quick to be like, oh, that's an attack or that's whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just am like, okay, what else is happening? Like, what's the context in which, right?
Yeah.
I'm hearing all this stuff and just kind of like, no, that's not the truth, or just kind of sifting through it, right?
Right, yeah. Like you said, knowing what the truth of how God sees you, or, or God sees the situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So since we're on the subject of the supernatural, I thought we'd call this next section the miracle of multiplication. And you had a chance to make a donation to a cause. And so I wondered if you can talk about that.
Yeah. So when we got married, we decided not to do, like, usually you get, like, right, wedding favors and stuff for all your guests, but instead of doing that, we're like, oh, let's just take the money we would have used for those wedding favors, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's probably things people would throw away anyway. And, like, we wanted to donate some money to a ministry that in Swaziland, Africa, that I had been to a few times. Mm-hmm. So it was a pastor who ran an orphanage and, or like a boys' home. And I had visited it. Like, he had come to the States. Him and his wife were at our wedding.
Oh, okay.
So, like, we had a relationship with him.
Yeah.
So we donated and, I mean, I'm usually not, I don't want to say, like, numbers or how much, but I think for the story purpose, like, it's kind of relevant. It's
relevant, absolutely.
So the total was around, like, $7,000 that we donated. And then right? We're at Bethel, and it was maybe a year or so later we found out that this pastor was embezzling the money. It wasn't going to, you know, these boys, and it was just so messy, and it was just so disappointing. And I just remember feeling like just so like just deflated, and I felt so dumb, like, and I just felt stupid, like, why did we give, like, because I was like, that's a good chunk of money, like, that would have helped us, especially because, like, we're in school, we're not working, we're living off our savings. And I just felt like, you know, again, the enemy's like, oh, like, you don't have discernment. Like, where was your discernment? Like, why didn't you know? Like, why'd you give him all that just for him to, like, pocket it or, you know, use it on whatever? So, yeah, I was just, like, really just discouraged. And we went to church one, I think it was a night service at Bethel. And in the evening services, when they do offering, you have to go. They just have buckets in the front. So you walk up and you can put it in. And so I felt like God was telling me, give the situation to me. Like, you need to let it go. And so I was like, okay. So then I felt led to put in $7 into the offering bucket to represent the $7,000. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to give you the $7 and I'm just going to give it to you. You know, you can redeem the situation or not, but I'm just letting it go. I'm not going to carry this anymore.
Wow.
So I had a $5 bill in my wallet. And so I was like, Tim, do you have $2? And he's like, why do you want $2? Like, I have a 10. Like, and so I was like, no, like, I need two, like, yeah, specifically. And he's like, okay. Luckily he had $2. So I put in the $7 and I let it go.
Yeah.
Gave it to the Lord.
Wow.
I'm like,
wow.
Fast forward maybe like a month or two after, Tim comes in. He got the mail. He comes in. He's like, oh, my gosh, look at this. And he handed me, like, a handwritten note. And it said, thought you could use this more than I could. And inside there was a check made out to Tim. And it was from his grandpa, who, like, he's super quiet. Like, you know, just, I don't think he doesn't really track what we're doing, or like, he just knows, like, we went to the school and we live up in Northern California. That's, I think, about the extent of his, you know, knowledge of what we were doing or why.
Yeah.
I don't even think he knew why, but he just said, thought you could use this. And it was a check to Tim for $13,000. And he's like, what the heck? But then I took it, and then I was holding it and reading it, and I was like, what? But then behind his check for $13,000 was another check for me for another $13,000.
Wow.
And we were just like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, instantly I knew. I was like, that was the Lord just, you know, redeeming what
yes.
we had lost.
Yeah.
You know, almost four times, right?
Yeah.
As much. And yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like you said, it's the Lord can redeem anything, even the things that, you know, we feel are bad or don't work out the way that we think it'll work out, that the Lord can redeem that. And I think you had said that you felt the Lord telling you that He saw your heart.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't help but think of 1 Samuel 16:7, where the Lord says, you know, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. The Lord looks at the heart. And it wasn't anything about the money that was misused or, you know, from this so-called pastor, but it was about your heart towards God and the things of God and your desire to please God, that God saw your heart in that moment. So I just think that's so amazing. What's also interesting is you had mentioned this pastor, this African pastor, was from Swaziland, and you talked earlier about geography. I didn't know this, but I think now Swaziland has been changed to the Kingdom of
Eswatini, yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Because I was looking for it, and then it said Eswatini, and I thought, so I just dug up a little more.
I think that was somewhat recent. In the last 5 years, I think they changed it.
Yeah, it was April of 2018.
Oh, okay.
And do you know what Eswatini means?
No, I don't.
It means land of the Swazis. Oh. So I think they changed the name because they wanted to, people were confusing it with Switzerland.
Oh my gosh.
So I just thought that was interesting. I love your quote. Let me back up. I think you also said that year, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you or Tim did a balance check of how much you had, and then you found out that you had more than, I wonder if you can talk about that.
So, when we decided to do first year, we're like, okay, we're just going to do a year, so we'll just live off our savings, right? Luckily, Reading is, the cost of living is much more affordable, and so we're like, I think we can make it, right? And then Tim's in finance, so he, you know, takes care of all that stuff. Like, I don't touch it. But he, at the end of first year, or getting towards the end of first year, you know, he's just kind of looking at our finances, where we're at, like, can we do a second year? Or, you know, just wanted to check in. And he was like kind of taking a while, and then he finally came to me. He's like, okay, I've been looking at this for like an hour, and he's like, we somehow have more money than what we started off with the year with. And I was just like, what? And he's like, yeah, like, you know, we weren't being supported, we didn't have like, yeah, there was no monthly income. It was just all, you know, one way out, going out. Yeah. And I was just like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I've been trying to find where it came from. And he's like, I felt like the Lord just said to stop, like, just receive it. And so he said, okay. And even now he jokes, he's like, well, no one's come after me. Like,
right. Yeah, there was the IRS going to knock at the
door? Yeah, so he's like, I guess we're good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, that was another, like, just crazy thing. And, it's like,
I mean, it reminds me of that story of the lady in the Bible who, I think, God kept filling her jar with the oil. The oil never ran out.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. So I love this quote that you said, and you said, we don't ever make decisions based on lack. And I thought that was just so profound. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, what that means to you, and what does that look like to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, what it doesn't mean is that, I could go do this, or I could buy this, even though I don't have the money.
Right.
Like, that's not what that means.
Yeah.
For us, that means if God's calling us to something, or God's specifically telling us, like, go after this dream, or like, directing us in some way. And maybe, like, we don't have that's not a smart financial decision, right? Mm-hmm. Or if there is lack in that area, or the circumstance around it says there's not enough, but God's saying to do it, we're going to go do it.
Yeah.
And we know that he's going to provide, whether that be resources, people, connections, relationships, you know, he's got to cover it.
Yeah. Now, when I look at at you and your faith, Stephanie, I just see, wow, you know, you're so strong and committed in your faith. I wondered if you can talk to maybe those listening that they haven't reached that level that you and Tim have. How could they start? How could they begin to have that type of faith? And what's maybe a good starting point?
I mean, I think it all really comes down to like your mindset like knowing your identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And knowing who we are, but also knowing who God is too. And that like I'm the daughter of the King who has, you know, unlimited resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I don't have to do anything to earn it. I don't have to perform or strive, prove myself in any way, but simply because he knows me, he loves me.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, I get to step into all that he has for me.
Right,
And really, it's like the prodigal son, like, kind of, I think I think a lot of times have that older brother mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, what, like, you know, I'm here doing all the right things. I'm, you know, working hard. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, doing X, Y, Z. Like, where's my feast? Where's my, like, blessing?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, don't you know that all I have is yours? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it's, so it's really just stepping into that and not in a, in an entitled sort of way, but just like knowing that you're just, he loves us so much that he's willing and wants to bless us and wants to see us thrive and he wants us to see breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so that would be a good segue because you had a decision to make on a house that you and Tim were looking at, and so I wondered if you can share about that.
Yeah, so it kind of, after we found out we had more funds than what we had started with in our bank account, at that time also Tim, well, back up. That whole first year of school, I don't know how many times we had to make a dream list, like 100 things like that we wanted to see God do. And it could be simple, small things like, oh, I want to take a cooking class in Italy, or like, you know, like fun things. I want to go see the Northern Lights, or I want to see a deaf ear open. I want to see, you know, a creative miracle or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I think we did it like at least 3 times.
Okay. And is this the purpose to kind of expand your, I don't know, your capacity of, you know, dreaming for things that you wouldn't maybe even think about.
Sure. Definitely. And so in different classes and different, groups we found ourselves in, like, we like kept having to do that over and over again. And so at the end of first year, you know, and then we found out, you know, the miracle of just, God refilling like our bank account. And Tim felt like God told him to start going after his dreams, like start actually pursuing them. And so the one he felt highlighted was to own a house. That was one of his dreams. And so he's like, okay, he told me, could you just pray and, you know, ask, see if you get anything, whether we should do this or not. And so I was like, okay, yeah. And like, I kept forgetting because, it wasn't my, like, so selfish, but it wasn't my dream. I was like, I don't want to move. Like, I hate moving. But so we were still in school. It was like maybe the last couple weeks or something. And we have worship every day. And So he kept asking me, like, oh, did you get anything? And I was like, oh, no, sorry, I forgot. Like, oops. And then one day in worship, I actually got something. It was a verse from, it was like Isaiah 54. Uh-huh. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I usually don't get scriptural references. Like, that's not how God usually speaks to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I looked it up real quick during worship. I was like, oh, that's cool. And didn't think anything of it. And then that night, Tim's like, oh, like, you know, he asked me again, like, did you get anything regarding buying a house? And I was like, oh, man. I was like, sorry, I didn't. I was like, I forgot again. But then I heard the Lord say, yes, you did. Like, I gave you something. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, huh? And then he said again, Isaiah 54. Wow. So like, and we're like in bed, like falling asleep. So I jumped out of bed. I like went to get my Bible. I looked it up and it says, and this is the New Living Translation. But I actually, the New Living Translation, it's Isaiah 54:2. It says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense. And so I think when I saw it or I read it in the NIV initially. And so it just said, expand the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, like, you know, strengthen the pegs or what, I don't know, something like that. I think when I initially read it, I thought, oh, spiritually, right? I'm going to expand my spirit or like my spiritual capacity or something. But then when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like,
not any clearer than that.
Yeah, like really, you could not get any clearer than that. So then we're like, okay, like let's do it. And we kind of knew this guy who was a realtor. So, right, we were looking at houses and again, we have no jobs. Like we have no income. But again, like we're like, okay, God's saying go after this very clearly. Mm-hmm. And so we did, even though there was a lot of lack and like, you know, any normal sane person would be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you doing that?
Right.
And so we found a house we really liked, put an offer on it. I think for bank purposes, like we had to have Tim's dad put his name on it too, because we had no proof of income or just, but, yeah. So we start this whole process and we're like, you know, okay, well maybe we can get jobs or part-time jobs, or maybe we could have like housemates, or we can rent out a couple rooms and, you know, just to make it work. But really, like, it was financial suicide. Like we would have been, this was in the summer, we're like, we're going to be in the red, mm-hmm. like at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like, again, like we didn't panic, but there was just peace. Like, mm-hmm. like, no, we're going to keep going. Like, I don't know, God said so. And it was so clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're just going to keep moving. And we, you know, submitted all the paperwork, mm-hmm. and got the went into escrow. It was like a 30-day, you know, standard mm-hmm. escrow. About 10 days left in escrow, we find that the company who, like, processes all the paperwork, mm-hmm. they hadn't even looked at our stuff yet. And so we're like, oh, shoot. Like, there's no way they could do it in 10 days. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, if it's not done at the end of the 30-day escrow, right, there's fines or there's fees for every day late. And so we're like, oh, my gosh. Like, it was just so frustrating. So we had to start over, move to a different company, and basically start the whole process over.
Okay.
Right. Super disappointing. Like, what the heck? Like, why is this even happening? Like, this should not even be happening. So there's, like, a huge delay. And we're like, great. Now we're going to have to pay more. And then we went to walk through the house, like, to measure for furniture and stuff, and escrow has still not closed. And we walk into one of the rooms, and the ceiling was, like, sagging. It was wet. And we're just like, what is that? Like, that's not, that wasn't there last time. And apparently, it was, like, some of, like, the air conditioning unit was leaking.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so it made the
ceiling.
So that whole part had to be replaced. It was probably, you know, thousands of dollars. But had the escrow ended on time, well, that would have been on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that saved us, you know.
Yeah, thousands.
Thousands of dollars. Yeah. And then also in this kind of waiting, extra waiting period, we were just blessed with some extra funds from, a family member, one of Tim's family members. And, like, I just remember we were holding this check. And we never asked anyone for help. We just said, hey, we're buying a house. That's all we said. Like, we weren't asking for any financial help. But we were holding this check. And we were just, like, almost, like, in disbelief. Like, if we didn't have this little piece of paper right here, like, we would be so screwed. Like, or just, like, had that moment where it sank in, like, oh my gosh, like, what were we thinking? Like, it was just kind of like, had that, like, again, it was like God coming through at exactly the right time.
Right, right.
And right, so everything worked out. We closed. It was late, but also they waived the fees. So we didn't have to pay extra. I think also, like, the sellers for, I think we needed a new roof. That was like $10,000, and they just covered it. Wow. They dealt with it.
Wow.
There were just so many things
that
God provided in that process. As much as it didn't look like how we wanted it to look, and, like, there were so many delays in that process that were so incredibly frustrating. But, like, it was kind of like we learned, like, you know, sometimes God's delays aren't delays. Or the delays are not delays. Like, God, it's his timing is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that. I've told you I love that perspective and that quote that you said. And it just seems to also, to me, take the emphasis off of, you know, our will and what do you want? You know, what do we want? And just leaving it in the hands of the master timekeeper, huh? And I just think it's incredible that you said, you know, through this whole process, you know, you and Tim had a piece about this.
Yeah.
And I just love, Stephanie, of course, the book of Ecclesiastes, right? Especially chapter 3 that talks about God's time, talks about time and God's timing, and I can't help but think about Ecclesiastes 3:1 in the NASB. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. So I just love that. And then later on in Ecclesiastes 3:11 in the NIV, in the first part, it says, and he has made everything beautiful in his time. And so I just love that. And that amazing that you and Tim were able to have a peace through that whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, when we had to kind of start over the whole process and that initial delay, Tim's like, should we just, like, not do this? Like, he was ready to give up. Like, and I was like, no, but God said, like, he said, do it. And he's just like, okay, fine. Like, you know, cause I think he was just so, like, over, like, all the paper, like, you know, it's like a mountain of paperwork and things to sign, and you got to pull all the information, so he had to do that all over again, and he was just like let's just, maybe we just not do, like, maybe this is a sign, right? Like,
right.
But then it was just like, no, like, God said, go after it.
Yeah.
And then he confirmed it again, right? Like,
Yeah.
It's not to say that we, just.
Right.
There is that struggle to keep pushing and to keep, to stay the course in a sense. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And in your case, I mean, buying a house that's such a big, it's one of the biggest purchases is buying a home. And maybe for those listening, maybe it's not a house, but maybe it's just trusting God in a job decision. Well, that's still a big thing too, but maybe on a smaller scale, it might be purchasing something smaller. So it might not always be a house as well. Okay, so you had, and I'm kind of moving on to your last testimony here, how God showed you His love for you in a song, and so I wonder if we can close with that story.
Yeah, so I think, I forget what year it was, but I think most of us could remember the summer that there was like a One Direction song, that boy band that has since broke up. But there was like this One Direction song. I think it's called like What Makes You Beautiful. Uh-huh. And I swear it got played every other song on the radio. Like you could not like escape it.
I must have been.
I know. Where were you?
I must have not listened to the radio because I, as I told you, I mean, that song has like 1.5 billion views on YouTube.
Yeah. It was like you could not run.
Get away from it.
Yeah. So I was just in the car by myself driving home, I think from the grocery store or something, but just side streets, a road that I drive all the time, not praying, just zoning out. Yeah. Literally, and like not thinking about anything specific. And the song was on, that song. And then the bridge started playing. And I don't know what, it was just the craziest thing. Like I felt like the presence of God was like, or I was just aware, super aware of His presence in that moment. And right, like I'm just in my car minding my own business and it's like, boom. And then the bridge was playing on the radio and it felt like I was hearing it in my spirit. Like that's the only way I could really describe it. Like it was magnified in this way. And I felt like it was Jesus singing it to me.
Yeah. And tell us what the words were.
So the words, I think, were, if only you could see like what I see, you'll understand why I want you so desperately.
Uh-huh.
I look at you and I can't believe you don't know you're beautiful. Mm. And like at first I was like laughing because I'm like, no way he's speaking to me through a One Direction song now. Like, what? But then it's like, but you know, then I got like emotional and teary eyed because I was like, I think we always emphasize, right, like pursuing God and like going after God and being hungry for Him, but He wants me desperately. And He looks at me and is wondering why I don't know I'm beautiful. Like it was just such a reversal.
Yeah.
That I think that really just shifted so much for me in that moment.
Yeah, wow. There's so many things going on in my mind as you share this story. And I shared with you that I listened to this song on YouTube and I just thought it was amazing how God communicates to us and He speaks to us in so many different ways, but each way is so personalized for us. And I don't know, maybe you were sick of this song at the time, but I just thought that was so incredible because here's this kind of fun loving song. And you know, God was able to communicate that to you. And I just, the other observation was that, so I thought it was also kind of funny, humorous, that, you know, the song talks about, he says, these boys are singing about the way you flip your hair and when you smile at the ground.
Yeah.
And I even thought that was interesting too, because in Luke 12:7, the first part of the NLT Bible, Jesus said, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Mm. That's how intimately he knows us. And then one other verse, Book of Zephaniah, 3:17, the second part in the ESV, I will rejoice over you with gladness. Mm. And these scriptures came to mind when I thought of your testimony and these songs that, you know, he even knows the hairs on our head and this idea, because, you know, if you listen to this song, it's such a fun, loving song, but that I went, as I'm seeing these people enjoying being with each other and laughing, I just thought of that verse of him rejoicing over us that way.
Yeah.
And you know, Stephanie, earlier you talked about God's timing. And I just don't think it's coincidence, but last week, or the last episode, Kyle came on and on the podcast, and he was sharing about how God was asking him that question, how desperate are you for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so neat because you're coming on and sharing the other view that, you know, he wants to know how desperate we are for him, because that's how desperate that he is for us.
Right. So good.
Yeah. I just want to thank you for, I guess I feel like there's something else as we wrap up this section. I just felt like you were supposed to impart something. And so sorry if I'm like totally catching you off guard in the moment, but as we start to wrap up, any final words of encouragement or advice for those that are listening as you kind of have reflected back on all these amazing things that God has showed you and done?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that pops into my mind, or kind of like a theme of with what we talked about was,
yeah.
Right, like dreaming with God,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and actually going after them, right? And I've heard it said that, like, God takes dreams and he wraps a person around it. Mm. That these dreams, like, he put those dreams inside of us.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he also, like, wants us to pursue them, and he wants us to, or he wants to help us see those come to fruition.
Mm.
And so I feel like, yeah, he's a God who sees those dreams. He knows those dreams of your heart, and that if it matters to you, it matters to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so to just walk confidently in that, yeah. and knowing that, and that knowing like he's for you.
Yeah.
In those things. And he's just...
Yeah.
He's so good, and he wants
yes.
he wants to bless us and love on us in those ways.
Yeah, it would be so easy to downplay, you know, those dreams, right? And to
right.
say, "Gosh, God would never do that for me," or "That's so way out there."
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like what you said, you know, you're trying to bring it and you know, you use that term that God wrapping, what was it? You said something
like
about
God
wrapping his...
God takes a dream and he wraps a person
yes,
around it.
Yes,
yeah.
So I love that that analogy.
Yeah.
That God, like you said, he's put those dreams there and he cares so much about them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, so I would, yeah, just challenge people to even make a list, like a dream list, and not just like a goal list, but things that like... would not happen if God would not intervene.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. I almost feel like the message is also don't sell yourself short.
Right.
You know, don't underestimate what God can do
mm-hmm.
And the dreams that he's put in our hearts.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Well, speaking of wrap up, it's a good note to wrap up our time together. So I just, first of all, want to thank you for being here today and sharing an amazing part of your journey with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd like to lift up a prayer, Stephanie, for prayer of thanksgiving for your testimony and for our listeners as well. So yeah, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the way that you showed Stephanie how you want her to see how much you see her, Lord. And may that encounter with you always serve as a reminder for Stephanie how special she is and how much you love her and how much you see her. And Father God, show us and help us to understand how much you see us and you know us, and even down to the very hairs on our head, Lord, which are numbered by you, and that's Luke 12:7. And thank you, Jesus, for the way that you multiplied Stephanie and Tim's gift of love to the pastor in Swaziland. How through their gift of love, although maybe misused by their recipient, you showed them that you do not look at the things that people look at, but that you look at their heart. And that's 1 Samuel 16:7. And thank you, Holy Spirit, how you spoke to and led Stephanie through her journey of finding the Light Christian Fellowship and then on to pursuing the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, all the way to her and Tim buying their house. And Lord, you remind us of Psalm 143:8 that says, show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. And I just want to also quote Stephanie, as Stephanie says, God's delays are not necessarily delays. So for that, Lord, help us, like you helped Stephanie and Tim, to trust in your timing, for there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under the sun. And that's Ecclesiastes 3:1 in the NASB. Holy Spirit, show us the way that we should go and give us the strength and courage to trust in you and only in you, God, and also your perfect timing. And now, Lord, may you use these testimonies in Stephanie's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God can use you to be a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.